No matter who you are, no matter where you've been, no matter where you are right now, you are welcome here. Welcome to Daily Audio Bible Chronological. I'm Jill. Today is the 17th. Whoa, we moved forward, Jill. 17th day of January. Welcome, everyone. It's a joy to be here. I gotta figure out where I am right now. We are rocking and rolling, making some good segue through the Word of God well into the month of January, well into the Bible. It does not take long to get into the thick, get into the deep of the Bible when we understand what's happening. This is why context is essential. And sometimes we tend to glaze over the things that we don't understand yet, and we miss some of the most important things. And so you showing up here every day, what a good thing you're doing for your soul, what a good thing you're doing for your mind, for your heart, and for your spiritual being, renewing and feeding through the Word of God. We continue today in the book of Genesis, reading chapters 16 through 18, and today is the last day in the Common English Bible. Genesis chapter 16. Sarai, Abram's wife, had not been able to have children. Since she had an Egyptian servant named Hagar, Sarai said to Abram, "The Lord has kept me from giving birth, so go to my servant. Maybe she will provide me with children." Abram did just as Sarai said. After Abram had lived 10 years in the land of Canaan, Abram's wife Sarai took her Egyptian servant Hagar and gave her to her husband Abram as his wife. He slept with Hagar, and she became pregnant. But when she realized that she was pregnant, she no longer respected her mistress. Sarai said to Abram, "This harassment is your fault. I allowed you to embrace my servant, but when she realized she was pregnant, I lost her respect. Let the Lord decide who is right, you or me." Abram said to Sarai, "Since she's your servant, do whatever you wish to her." So Sarai treated her harshly, and she ran away from Sarai. The Lord's messenger found Hagar at a spring in the desert, the spring on the road to Shur, and said, "Hagar, Sarai's servant, where did you come from and where are you going?" She said, "From Sarai, my mistress. I'm running away." The Lord's messenger said to her, "Go back to your mistress. Put up with her harsh treatment of you." The Lord's messenger also said to her, "I will give you many children, so many they can't be counted." The Lord's messenger said to her, "You are now pregnant and will give birth to a son. You will name him Ishmael, because the Lord has heard about your harsh treatment. He will be a wild mule of a man. He will fight everyone, and they will fight him. He will live at odds with all his relatives." Hagar named the Lord who spoke to her, "You are El Roy," because she said, "Can I still see after he saw me?" Therefore, that well is called Berlehai Roy. It's the well between Kadesh and Bered. Hagar gave birth to a son for Abram, and Abram named him Ishmael. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar gave birth to Ishmael for Abram. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, "I am El Shaddai. Walk with me and be trustworthy. I will make a covenant between us, and I will give you many, many descendants." Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, "But me, my covenant is with you. You will be the ancestor of many nations. And because I have made you the ancestor of many nations, your name will no longer be Abram, but Abraham. I will make you very fertile. I will produce nations from you, and kings will come for you. I will set up my covenant with you and your descendants after you in every generation as an enduring covenant. I will be your God and your descendants' God after you. I will give you and your descendants the land in which you are immigrants, the whole land of Canaan, and as an enduring possession, and I will be their God. God said to Abraham, as for you, you must keep my covenant, you and your descendants in every generation. This is my covenant that you and your descendants must keep. Circumcise every male. You must circumcise the flesh of your foreskins, and it will be a symbol of the covenant between us. On the eighth day after birth, every male in every generation must be circumcised, including those who are not your own children, those born in your household, and those purchased with silver from foreigners. Be sure you circumcise those born in your household and those purchased with your silver. Your flesh will embody my covenant as an enduring covenant. Any uncircumcised male whose flesh of his foreskin remains uncircumcised will be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. God said to Abraham, as for your wife Sarai, you will no longer call her Sarai. Her name will now be Sarah. I will bless her and even give you a son from her. I will bless her so that she will become nations, and kings of peoples will come from her. Abraham fell on his face and laughed. He said to himself, can a 100-year-old man become a father, or Sarah, a 90-year-old woman, have a child? To God, Abraham said, if only you would accept Ishmael. But God said, no, your wife Sarah will give birth to a son for you, and you will name him Isaac. I will set up my covenant with him and with his descendants after him as an enduring covenant. As for Ishmael, I've heard your request. I will bless him and make him fertile and give him many, many descendants. He will be the ancestor of 12 tribal leaders, and I will make a great nation of him. But I will set up my covenant with Isaac, who will be born to Sarah at this time next year. When God finished speaking to him, God ascended, leaving Abraham alone. Abraham took his son Ishmael, all those born in his household, and all those purchased with his silver, that is, every male in Abraham's household, and he circumcised the flesh of their foreskins that same day, just as God had told him to do. Abraham was 99 years old when he circumcised the flesh of his foreskin, and his son Ishmael was 13 years old when the flesh of his foreskin was circumcised. That same day, Abraham and his son Ishmael were circumcised. All the men of his household, those born in his household, and those purchased with silver from foreigners, were circumcised with him. The Lord appeared to Abraham at the oaks of Mamre, while he sat at the entrance of his tent in the day's heat. He looked up and suddenly saw three men standing near him. As soon as he saw them, he ran from his tent entrance to greet them and bowed deeply. He said, sirs, if you would be so kind, don't just pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought so you may wash your feet and refresh yourselves under the tree. Let me offer you a little bread so you will feel stronger, and after that you may leave your servant and go on your way, since you have visited your servant. They responded, fine, do just as you have said. So Abraham hurried to Sarah at his tent and said, hurry, knead 3 seahs of the finest flour and make some baked goods. Abraham ran to the cattle, took a healthy young calf, and gave it to a young servant who prepared it quickly. Then Abraham took butter, milk, and the calf that had been prepared, put the food in front of them, and stood under the tree near them as they ate. They said to him, where's your wife Sarah? And he said, right here in the tent. Then one of the men said, I will definitely return to you about this time next year. Then your wife Sarah will have a son. Sarah was listening at the tent door behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were both very old. Sarah was no longer menstruating. So Sarah laughed to herself, thinking, I'm no longer able to have children, and my husband's old. The Lord said to Abraham, Why did Sarah laugh and say, Me give birth at my age? Is anything too difficult for the Lord? When I return to you about this time next year, Sarah will have a son. Sarah lied and said, I didn't laugh, because she was frightened. But he said, No, you laughed. The men got up from there and went over to look down on Sodom. Abraham was walking along with them to send them off when the Lord said, Will I keep from Abraham what I'm about to do? Abraham will certainly become a great populous nation, and all the earth's nations will be blessed because of him. I have formed a relationship with him so that he will instruct his children and his household after him, and they will keep to the Lord's path, being moral and just, so that the Lord can do for Abraham everything he said he would. Then the Lord said, The cries of injustice from Sodom and Gomorrah are countless, and their sin is very serious. I will go down now to examine the cries of injustice that have reached me. Have they really done all this? If not, I want to know. The men turned away and walked towards Sodom, but Abraham remained standing in front of the Lord. Abraham approached and said, Will you really sweep away the innocent with the guilty? What if there are 50 innocent people in the city? Will you really sweep it away and not save the place for the sake of the 50 innocent people in it? It's not like you to do this, killing the innocent with the guilty, as if there were no difference. It's not like you. Will the judge of all the earth not act justly? The Lord said, If I find 50 innocent people in the city of Sodom, I will save it because of them. Abraham responded, Since I've already decided to speak with my Lord, even though I'm just soil and ash, what if there are 5 fewer innocent people than 50? Will you destroy the whole city over just 5? The Lord said, If I find 45 there, I won't destroy it. Once again, Abraham spoke, What if 40 are there? The Lord said, For the sake of 40, I will do nothing. He said, Don't be angry with me, my Lord, but let me speak. What if 30 are there? The Lord said, I won't do it if I find 30 there. Abraham said, Since I've already decided to speak with my Lord, what if 20 are there? The Lord said, I won't do it for the sake of 20. Abraham said, Don't be angry with me, my Lord, but let me speak just once more. What if there are 10? And the Lord said, I will not destroy it because of those 10. When the Lord finished speaking with Abraham, he left. But Abraham stayed there in that place. Let's unpack a little bit of what we read today. Okay, first of all, Sarai and Abram do not have any children. God has shown Abram the land of promise, where his descendants, as numerous as the stars in the sky, will be, but he does not have a child. So let's understand in this culture and in this time, because we have to understand context to which we're reading, right? The Bible is not for us, wherever we live, whatever part of the world that we're in, to identify ourselves as those people in that place and in that time. It is to reveal the heart of humanity. But for context, we're talking about a very tribal time of living, and we're talking about a time where your descendant, especially for a man, a son means his family lineage will carry on. It means there are workers for the field. It means that there are sons and daughters even to just carry out tradition and live among culture. This is very essential to this time period and the land in which they're living in. And Abram and Sarai are childless at this point. And so what we see is Sarai take matters into her own hands. So she has a servant named Hagar, and she tells Abram to go and have sex with her maidservant, and the Lord will give him a child, and not only give him, but give her a child through her. So even though we hear this and we're like, what in the world is going on? Why did God allow this? This is not right. We have to understand this is the culture. This is what's happening in this time and space. The world did not begin with all of the amenities and conveniences that we know in our world to be true today. Even in our world, if we just look at the advances in the last 50 years of the internet and technology, it's unfathomable. Brian and Ezekiel and I were watching a movie where it was just 200 years ago. We're like, how has the world changed so much in 200 years? But it went at warp speed just 50 years ago. So let's understand that this is conducive, and this is culturally what is happening in this time period. Sarai permits Abram to have a child with Hagar, and he does. And so Hagar is pregnant with Abram's son, and it does not take long for Sarai to change the tune of her little song. And so Sarai begins to mistreat Hagar. And Hagar, she's young. And at the same time, Sarai permitted her to have a child. But Sarai's mistreatment of Hagar causes Hagar to leave. Sarai's own insecurities of not being able to give her husband a child. There's jealousy, there's envy, there's great insecurity that comes with that. And so as Hagar leaves and runs away, God speaks to her and he tells her what his son will do, what will come from him. And he sees her, and that comforts her. Doesn't it comfort us when someone sees us, especially in our pain and our distress, but they don't try to fix it, but they're just like, I see you. I know this is hard. I'm with you. I see the struggle. So as Hagar is away from her mistress Sarai, an angel of the Lord tells her that she has to go back. But he also tells her, he will take care of her. I will greatly multiply your offspring. And he shares with her, she will have a son named Ishmael. And in this place, Hagar calls the name of the Lord, the God who sees, because he has looked after her. Abram is 86 when Ishmael was born. And then, as the reading goes today, there's a sign of the covenant that God has entered into with Abram, who is becoming Abraham. In this covenantal exchange, God has renamed him Abraham. Circumcision. Circumcision for his descendants. This will be a sign of the covenant between God and Abraham and his descendants, his offspring. And then Sarai is renamed to Sarah, and God foretells Sarah's pregnancy, and she laughs. She laughs at God. She is up in years, almost 100 years old, and boy, doesn't that bring us a little bit of relief that we are not the only one who laughs at God when he shares his plans with us? After this, God reveals his plan to Abraham, and he tells him that he is going to destroy the city of Sodom. Now, Abraham's nephew Lot is in Sodom, so Abraham's in this bit of a negotiation with God, like, surely you're not going to destroy the city if you can find 50 righteous people. And so this negotiation comes down to 10 people. And God promises him that if he can find 10 righteous people, he will not destroy the city. We will see how this plays out tomorrow. Jesus, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for your grace and your mercy, that you are just and you are righteous, but you are full of grace and mercy. Thank you for your word, and thank you for the deepening that happens when we understand all that there is for us to see and to hear and to understand, to take in, and it changes our heart. Thank you for this week we've had together in your word. Have your way. I pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Hi, this is Joseph from Struck Oil, Queensland, Australia. No, I'm not Australian, but my wife is. Anyways, I just want to ask for prayer for my wife and our three children. My wife is breastfeeding, and she suffers from anxiety and extreme sleep deprivation. And I just want to ask for a prayer for her and all of us, as not only have we been sleep deprived, both me and my wife, but we also have been having financial issues, and we've had a lot of things going wrong since buying our house and our property, and everything from leaking sink, broken sink, leaking shower. The list just goes on from there, from not even having a well, not having adequate water supply. Anyways, I just want to ask for prayer for all of us, and especially our vehicles. We just had one that has had numerous problems and has cost us heaps of money. If you could just keep all of us in prayer, I'd greatly appreciate it. Thank you so much, and God bless. Wish all of you the best new year out there. Thanks. Bye.
Good morning, DABC family. Just wanted to call and lift up some of my DABC family. First of all, I wanted to call out to Eddie in Las Vegas. You had called a while back about your friend Stacy as you were trying to get her into a detox center. Just praying that you were able to find a place, that you would give us an update on how she's doing. God, that you would bring Stacy back to your fold, Father, that she would break the chains of addiction over her. And Lord, for Sam and Shamik, who are also having addiction problems, just pray, God, that you would release them in the name of Jesus, that you would bring them back to your loving arms, God, and that they would know you in a more intimate and close way. For Dinah in London, just wanted to know, I've missed a few episodes, so forgive me if y'all have called back with updates, but your sister Hulimaso in Belgium, she was on life support. Please let us know how you are doing, how your sister's doing, and your family. I just wanted to lift your family up in prayer, that God, you would surround them with your love and your comfort and your peace, Father, and that your hand would continually be working in their lives, God, and that you would draw them closer to you. Father, for the lady who called, for her mother who's 96, the loss of eyesight and hearing, I just pray that you would be with her, God, that you would help her daughter as she caretakes for her mom, Lord, that you would lower both of their blood pressures, God, that you would give them peace, Lord, and especially her mom as she loses eyesight and hearing, Father. I ask, if it be in your will, that you would heal her, Father, and if not, God, that the Prince of Peace would be there to surround her and give her comfort during those times, Lord, that she would have a peace in knowing that her daughter is there with her, God, and that you would give her daughter peace as well. Welcome back to His Little Songbird, or now Broken Vessel. We love you too, and just love all you guys. May God be with you in everything you do. Amen.
Hi, Daily Audio Bible. This is Jessica in California. I am calling for my friend Anne Brown, whose daughter has gone away from the Lord. She lives in Italy, and she knew the Lord when she was young, but she has not come back. And my friend Anne is in her 80s, and she's concerned about her daughter coming to know the Lord, and also bringing her grandson, who's 7 years old, or maybe 8, to know the Lord. and her husband. And so this is just a big concern that she's been praying for years now. And I'd just like to ask you, brothers and sisters, to help me pray for Elena, that she would remember the goodness of God and turn to Him in all her worries and troubles, and that that she'd give her heart to the Lord and back to the Lord, and that Anne would rest in the Lord and trust that He's working on it, because we have promises on our children, promises from You, God, that are for our children. And I just pray that she, when you raise a child to be, you raise a child up in the Lord, that when they grow older, they will not depart. So I claim that over Elena, and I just ask if you guys can pray along too. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Thank you.
Hey, my outstanding Dab C fam. This is KSD. Happy New Year's. Happy 2026. To God be the glory. We made it. And once again, Lady Jill, I just want to say thank you for the incredible job you did leading us through 2025. And you did such a masterful job and a beautiful, heartfelt job leading us across the threshold into 2026. I so appreciate you, Mrs. Jill Harden. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I want to pray for Mike from South Dakota concerning your wife, Terry. Lord, we lift up Mike's wife, Terry, who is in the hospital with a pretty bad case of the flu. We thank you, God, that you are Jehovah Rapha, the Lord, our healer. Will you be that for Terry? Will you touch her body in every area that has been affected and impacted by the flu? And will you, Lord, take this flu virus completely out of her, raise her up from this sick bed, and make her whole? Comfort Mike's heart to know that you've got his precious bride. And I thank you, God, for the healing that is the children's bread. Let that healing be for Terry. We give you praise, God, because we know you're able. There's absolutely nothing that you cannot do. So will you please heal our brother's bride, Terry, and comfort Mike's heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you, fam.
Hi, this is one of God's beloved. My first time calling in. This message is for Jill. I'm back in October. I think this is the third day in the Gospels. I just wanted to thank you for your commentary and bringing it to our lives, King Herod and his revenge. This was a message God spoke to you, and it was for me and many others, but it was literally God sitting next to me and telling me this, and it was so gentle, and it was something I really needed to hear, and it aligns with the story I'm dealing with. And thank you for all your commentary. It's huge, and I just want to thank you for your work with the chronological. There's been so many times that you've made me cry just in naming things. So thank you. God bless all of you.